Freaks, it's late.
It was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Today's Tuesday. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's almost 6 days late.
We recorded this last week live in Miami on the Open Source stage. Matt and I did. We were joined by Wiz, Craig Raw, Steve Barber came up. We got heckled by a bunch of Bens. The Bens are becoming a big problem. A big problem, freaks. The Bens are becoming a big problem. That's all I'm going to say. They need to be taken care of. I was blinded by the stage lights during this recording, so I couldn't see how many of them were back there, but there were a lot of them. Holding up signs, heckling, disrupting. The Bens are a problem. A big problem. Enjoy this rip. This rip was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained Capital. Unchained Capital is here to help you eliminate single points of failure in your Bitcoin security model and to give you financial services so that you can use your Bitcoin to do cool things, like use it as collateral to get dollar liquidity if you need it. You don't have to sell your Bitcoin, put Bitcoin up as collateral. Good for taxes too that way. They have an IRA product. And of course, they have their Vault product. This is a 2-3 multi-sig collaborative custody model. You hold two keys. Unchained holds one. You always have control over your UTXOs in the vault. Or if you're ever in the pinch, Unchained is there to be the second in the 2-3 multi-sig quorum. They have a white glove concierge service going to take you from zero to having that set up with 1,000 cuck bucks worth of sats in it. Tell them TFTC sent you. You're going to get $50 off that package. Go to unchained.com. Unchained.com. I need to enunciate. Make sure I'm driving people to the right websites. Unchained.com. Check out everything they have going on. This group is also brought to you by good friends at Brains. Hung out with the Brains team a lot. Last couple weeks in Houston, we had Edward Evenson there. BTC Gandalf was there. Last week in Miami, Edward Everson, Evenson. He doesn't like when I mess up his name intentionally. He was there following me around Miami as well. He wasn't whipping firmware devs to get the What's Miners out. I saw Daniel, our boy Dan Frumps. I saw Jan as well. The brain share behind brains. The brains behind brains, if you will. The man is bringing you the firmware that helps you stack more sats with your hash. If you have an ASIC and it's compatible with Brains OS Plus firmware and you're not using it, you're leaving sats on the table. It's as simple as that. This is what the Brains team does. It's not just me just saying Brains. They actually make shit. They're a team behind Slushpool. They make this firmware. They have insights.brains.com. That's Brains with two I's. insights.brains.com is their mining data page. Everything you need to know about the mining industry is there. Brains.com is their regular website. You can learn about Slushpool. You can learn about the mining metrics. They have a blog. And of course, you can learn about the firmware. Again, you have an ASIC that's compatible with this firmware and you're not using it, you're leaving sats on the table. How do you want to increase the productivity of your mining operation without pouring any more CapEx into it? You simply download the Brains OS Plus firmware. Very, very simple. Go check it out. Everything you got going on, brains.com. This room is also brought to you by our good friends at HODL HODL. HODL HODL is here to bring you a no KYC AML lending platform that allows you to use your Bitcoin as collateral to get stablecoin liquidity. You go to lend.hodlhodl.com, lend.hodlhodl.com. You put your Bitcoin up into a multi-sig escrow account. You hold one key. Your counterparty holds a key. HODL HODL holds the third key. You put your Bitcoin up as collateral. You get stablecoin liquidity. You go spend that however you see fit. As long as you're paying that loan back, plus the interest, you're going to get your sats back at the end of the day. And since you have one key in that 2-3 multi-sig quorum, you have visibility into the escrow account throughout the duration of the loan. You know that those Bitcoins aren't being rehypothecated. So you're gonna have certainty that your sats are gonna be there when you pay back the loan, plus the interest at the end of the day, and they're gonna be sent back to you. So go check everything that they've gone on at lend.hodlhodl.com. They've also got Hodl Hodl as a decentralized exchange as well. No KYC, no AML. They're doing incredible things out of Latvia. Enjoy this rip. It was a good one. Love you, freaks.
Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
The keynote.
It makes it easier in a way. You can't see anyone. You don't know what they think.
Oh, our mics are on.
I guess we're going. What is up, freaks?
What is up, Miami?
Yeah.
I want to start because I'm a proud co-host. Let's give it up for Matt Odell for organizing this room here.
Thank you, brother. Truly special.
Yeah, incredible job, dude.
This is the largest in-person rabbit hole recap we've ever done.
Yeah. Congrats,
by
you're
far.
All part of history. Somebody note the block, and we'll write that down somewhere. We're joined by Craig Rall and Wiz. Steve Barber's supposed to be up here, but he's not here. So if he wanders in, send him to get a mic. But this is RHR. We have 40 minutes. When we do these live shows, we usually do a different format where we have a few topics that we want to talk about. Matt and I haven't even talked about topics, and then we'll open it up to Q&A.
Wait, raise your hand if you have no idea what Rabbit Hole Recap is. Awesome. Oh.
Welcome.
Okay, so Rabbit Hole Recap is our weekly news show, weekly Bitcoin news show. We've been doing it for over 3 years now.
4 years, September, I believe.
Yeah. So if you like Bitcoin, you should check that out. If you like this, you know, go check it out, maybe consider it. But yeah, as Marty said, we're just kind of going to, we're going to shoot the shit and then we're going to do a Q&A.
Yeah. Let's give another shout out to Wiz for doing a pirate live stream in this room today.
Yeah, thanks thanks to Jack for retweeting my pirate live stream at the open source stage. I think it was an idea I had about 2 a.m. last night. I'm like, why is there no live stream? Let's just go to Target and Best Buy, buy a camera and plug it in and set it up. And so we did it.
Yeah, if you can spin up your own ISP, I think you can figure out a live stream in 12 hours. It's very impressive.
Wiz has two ISPs now.
Two?
Well, technically mempool.space is its own ISP now, yeah.
Okay.
So we kind of spun that off into its own sub-ISP in a way.
Why don't we talk about that? You recently added a mining page to mempool.space.
Yeah, we went down to Nashville last week with Matt and Rod. Organizing the Nashville meetup down there. And we had a really nice crowd, about, what, 100 people, maybe more?
Yeah, there was a tornado warning.
We didn't...
So 100 was a good showing.
Yeah, it was pouring outside.
Yeah.
And but it was a great show. I mean, it was just me, Rod, Matt on stage, and we were just trolling each other. We actually forgot there was like an audience there, and we were having so much fun. I don't know how many hours we were talking, but it was a great show.
But yeah, he announced the... So Wiz is the lead maintainer, one of the co-founders of mempool.space, and one of the co-maintainers of the open source mempool project, where you can... And he has... He rented a TV and put it up over there with a live look at his mempool.
Yeah, we don't have a booth in the conference this year, so we just rented a TV and stuck it in the corner over there.
And we have Craig Raw here, who is the lead maintainer and the man behind Sparrow Wallet, which is one of the best desktop wallets on the market, fully open source. This is his first public appearance ever in the Bitcoin scene.
Thank you, sir.
It is an absolute fucking honor that you are up here with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Great and then Craig and I were talking backstage. You comfortable talking about what we were discussing?
Sure, go ahead.
So there's, what is it, path descriptors and wallets and simplifying that?
Yeah, so, well, we were just having a quick chat. Currently, Bitcoin Core requires, if you want to input your output descriptor into a Bitcoin Core wallet, you got to get a receive chain output descriptor and a change chain output descriptor. They're different. Andrew Charles actually put forward a multi-path version of that, which allows you to have one descriptor. And that's useful because if you're going to stamp it into a steel plate, for example, you've got 99% of them, the actual data is the same for the receive change chain. So you might as well just have one descriptor which specifies both chains. So that's a PR that's in Bitcoin Core right now. Sparrow implements it that way, and I'm kind of hoping that Sparrow leads the way on that to try and maybe get things to move in that direction, but it is as yet an unmerged PR, so hopefully it goes that way.
So what does that mean to the end user? It means easier backups, essentially?
Yeah, so I mean, if you have a multi-sig, you need to back up all of the public keys, right? You can't just have the seeds, and output descriptor is really the most standard way to do that. So, you know, just having one which is easier to put into steel plate, for example, which is, I think, an important thing.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's true. Even if you have all your seed plate backups, if you don't have those public keys, I guess you couldn't recover the funds, right?
Correct. So, I mean, you know, people often think multisig, if I lose one of my seeds, I'm okay. But actually, you do need the
other public keys
going in to reconstruct that script. So for that, you know, the output descriptor is kind of our standard way to do it.
Awesome. So
we'll give this PR a thumbs up.
I hope so.
Let's get some review too. What do you want to talk about? Is there any, you want to talk about tokens on Lightning?
Yeah. Matt was making fun of me earlier saying I'm a attention whore.
No, I called you a cheerleader is what I called you.
Why am I a cheerleader?
I don't know. You just made it seem extremely bullish, and I just don't.
I think it's very bullish. I think it's cool. So what we're talking about is
there's a lot of layer two like ways to do tokens on top of Bitcoin, right? Like even back in the day, you had like what was it called?
Omni Protocol.
Yeah, Omni Protocol. You had something party.
Counterparty.
There's colored Bitcoin. Then there's like Liquid. Now there's Lightning. You can issue shitcoins on top of Bitcoin in lots of different ways now, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, you can also just issue shitcoins on top of shitcoins and let that be. Like, if people want to use Tether, why does it matter if they use Tron? Like, does anyone really care? Like, at the end of the day, you're still trusting the Tether Corporation in the back end. It doesn't really matter what chain it's running on. So why do we care if it's just running on a centralized
personally, I think it'd be cool if it was on Bitcoin rather than a shitcoin. That's why I got excited about it. Like, you can create these tokens within a Taproot transaction and then push it up to the second layer and transact via Lightning. But you brought up something earlier when we were discussing this, when it became apparent that Matt was gonna shit on me on stage.
We should talk about it.
Does it create this weird MEV like incentive mechanism on the Lightning network where you have these different assets going through Lightning nodes, and does that mess with the incentives of the node topology?
Yeah, I mean, it's just recently launched. We had the fortune of having Lalu on stage here yesterday to present on it. It hit the dev mailing list the day before that, I believe. So it's really fresh. So I expect people will, you know, look into it. But, you know, as someone who does run a Lightning routing node, and I see that we have a lot of, you know, Lightning's great. Lightning's one of those things where I just go through like 4 month cycles where I'm bullish and bearish on Lightning. but I've run a Lightning routing node the whole time and I continue to use Lightning. But there are things that need to be refined on Lightning. It's an unfinished spec, right? And I don't know if NFTs on Lightning are the thing that I get excited about.
Like, I think stablecoins are interesting. I'm interested in hash rate derivatives. Could they be tokenized?
Sats are my stablecoin.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of assets issued on the Liquid network too. And there's this huge divide internally within the Liquid Federation. Should Liquid become this thing that like eats Ethereum and all these other shitcoin blockchains? Or should Liquid be a system for cheap and fast Bitcoin payments on a layer two blockchain, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting to see how these layer two networks and communities will evolve over time. I mean, I guess the rough consensus is like, why not both? But it can be a distraction and you get lots of scams. It's really got its trade-offs, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Marty had a specific, When he was cheerleading Taro, he had a specific framing, which is that it obsoletes shitcoins. It makes every shitcoin obsolete.
Yeah.
Does it?
It could potentially. I don't know.
It could potentially.
Maybe I was.
That wouldn't have made the tweet as fire, right?
Maybe
oh,
I was
could potentially make every shitcoin obsolete.
Bro. Craig, do you have any thoughts on this, or is this like not?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I haven't really had a chance to look into it in any great detail, but obviously, one of the bounding qualities of the Lightning Network is the amount of liquidity that's locked up into it. So if this brings additional liquidity, that is a good thing. You know, are there going to be other second-order effects? Hard to say at this point. You know, I think we've just starting as a community to kind of look at what's being done. I think, you know, it's interesting, but it's not super interesting in the long term. We obviously have a long-term vision of a Bitcoin-only future. But it may be sort of an interesting diversion on that path.
I definitely think it may help us
to get there. Who knows?
It's a cool part of their vision, I will say that, as opposed to like Synonym's proposal, where Synonym's proposal essentially has you have to have dedicated Lightning channels for whatever shitcoin you're transferring. Mm-hmm. So then that's a completely separate liquidity. Like it's called the Lightning Network, but it's not really interoperable with the greater Lightning Network. In this proposal, it is pretty cool that, you know, you could just be running a routing node that only sees sats and doesn't even know that any token is involved, and only the edges have to know. So essentially, like if Tether was successful on Lightning, it could create an incentive where there is way more liquidity on the Lightning Network because Tether is not on Tron or Solana or whatever bullshit. And those routing nodes in between could end up making way more in fees as a result, right?
Yeah.
So I definitely agree that is definitely a very cool aspect of it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're becoming bullish on Terra live on stage.
I mean, you're right. I'm just trying to be fair. I don't think it's going to obsolete shitcoins, though.
Yeah. We were also reminiscing earlier of Bitcoin 2019 when we did the first live RHR.
On a picnic table.
On a picnic table. Matt had a fresh face. He looked about 15 years younger, wearing the same shoes. And it's just crazy to think of how
it's
big
a different pair, but it's
how big this how big this conference has gotten over the last 3 years specifically. And obviously, due to the fact that Bitcoin's a very big theme in the world right now.
Bitcoin 2019, we were on a picnic table. There was 2,500 people at the conference, maybe even less. Like 2,300 people at the conference. The main stage for that event was probably around this size, maybe a little bit bigger. Definitely the actual stage was bigger, but seat-wise was probably maybe like 60% larger than this.
Yeah, like this used to be the whole Bitcoin conference, just this room.
And then Bitcoin 2020 was canceled because it was happening in California as COVID hit. And then Bitcoin 2021, we were outside in the scorching heat.
Yeah, they put O'Leary inside.
In front of about 400 people with 13,000 people at the event. And now we're on this nice, beautiful open source stage and air conditioning with probably like 900 to 1,000 people in here.
I'll take it. And we've got a live performer after, too.
We love you, freaks.
We do love you, freaks. It's crazy to think. I mean, you had Odell Beckham, Serena Williams, and Aaron Rodgers opening the day.
Do you know, did I tell you that CNBC reached out to do an interview with me here? And they kept asking for my PR person. I was like, I'm just a humble Bitcoiner. Like, I don't have a PR person. We like planned the whole thing out and they thought they were booking Odell Beckham Jr. Secondary Odell in Bitcoin. It's amazing how quick that happens.
That's incredible.
Number one in our hearts.
Let's fucking go.
So with all this attention coming to Bitcoin, obviously this conference, 25,000 people here. I'd like to hear your thoughts, Wiz and Craig, like at the protocol level and the network level in terms of decentralization usability. What do you guys think the state of Bitcoin is as a network right now?
State of Bitcoin?
Big question.
That's a good question, huh? I don't know. I mean, the community is very strong, but there's also like this mix. It's like a Venn diagram or something where you've got the Bitcoin, the hardcore Bitcoiners, which are probably in this room, and then you've got the crypto people, and then you've got just the total shitcoin scams, right? And it's like obviously those circles are not the same size, right? As you just described, by the size of the, comparing the different size of the stages or whatever. And even around this conference, there's like satellite conference, like Shitcoin or something.
I think Solana's doing something here.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's, the community is evolving, I guess. It's very mainstream, but the real Bitcoin community, the core hardcore Bitcoin, they're all here, like in this room, I feel, right? I mean,
yeah, I have to agree with Wiz. I wander around and I feel that the Bitcoin conference is here in this hall. It's kind of not really happening out there. I mean, that's not maybe fair because I haven't spent that much time out there, and I'm sure there are interesting talks. But certainly what we've had here, thanks to Matt, has been some really great talks.
It was definitely not just me. There was a massive team that helped me. Sure. Couldn't have done it without them. I mean, I behoove all of you an hour after this, I think it's 4 p.m., to go to the main stage because Mahler's has got a fucking insane announcement. So,
Matt hasn't even told me yet, so it must be pretty big.
Lip sealed.
Yeah. I just came back. The mining stage, Steve Barber, Whit from Compass, Bob, and a gentleman, Ryan, I believe, from Titan with AJ, had like a further decentralizing mining talk.
The mining stage is awesome, right? I mean, I've been stuck here, and I love it. but I've looked all over that agenda. The agenda for the mining stage for today and tomorrow. I mean, like historically, like industry day is always very suit heavy, mm-hmm. you know. And this year was the exception because we did highly technical open source conversations here. So that was the rarity in terms of how they set up this conference usually. But the GA days on the mining stage are pretty awesome. What was your how many talks did you watch? What was your favorite?
I must admit, this is my second talk. So the last one I saw was my favorite. But I think it's an important discussion, like decentralizing mining. Obviously, in the mining industry, it's always top of mind. You're seeing this massive migration of hash rate to the U.S. and even more specifically to Texas, a lot of massive on-grid operations that are just inherently centralized. You have people building 500 megawatt facilities that are very out in the open. And I think what Steve is doing with Upstream and the Black Box to get more individuals mining, and his framing with the Black Box is it may not be as profitable, but people really want it because they want privacy. There's this push for privacy downstream in the energy sector from individual Bitcoin miners. Upstream
100%.
Gets much more efficient, obviously, because they're closer to the lowest cost power. But downstream is being hardened because people want KYC-free Bitcoin. I think that's a really cool move.
That's an interesting comparison between like the mining stage and open source stage. Open source can just be like a few shadowy supercoders, you know, hacking away on GitHub. You have no idea what their real name is, but to do mining, especially these days, it's extremely capital intensive, and you know you need to wear a suit to raise that kind of capital, right?
I don't wear suits.
Well, no. So we have. So I guess both me and Marty are going to be on the mining stage tomorrow separately.
Are you going to wear a suit?
and so Marty's talk is titled "Is ESG an Attack on Bitcoin?" Now, obviously, Marty doesn't think ESG is an attack on Bitcoin. So it should be a very interesting conversation.
Yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow.
And I'm doing a KYC-free home mining with Econo Alchemist and Diverter. So there's a lot of good conversations this year that I'm excited about. And I mean, look, at the end of the day, there's so much content that you have to watch them after the fact.
Yeah.
To like catch them all.
Yeah, I did catch a clip of Dave Portnoy talking shit on me. So that was funny.
But Portnoy, he was talking shit about you?
Yeah. Funny though, I actually texted him after, trying to convince him to get Barstool's podcast on Podcasting 2.0.
I mean, that just seems obvious.
Yeah, I think that would be massive, not only for Podcasting 2.0, but like having somebody like Barstool.
What did Portnoy say about you?
He said I was shady when I worked at Barstool.
While he was on,
I was sneaking into the studios late at night.
While he was on state, well, the first time I recorded with Marty was in Barstool's merch closet. With the t-shirts all around us.
Yeah, we literally...
And a bottle of Macallan.
the first, what was that? That was like episode 29 of the interview series.
Yeah, Marty was like, oh, come over to the Barstool studio. Like, this is where I record. I was like, oh, it's going to be the most baller podcast studio ever. And I'm just like sitting in a fucking glass box with fucking t-shirts all around me.
Hey, humble beginnings, man.
I had a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah.
So we have, yeah, we'll keep 15
minutes. 21
minutes.
That's
we'll
a sign
keep 15
there.
Minutes for Q&A. What is...
I got something if you can't think of anything. You look like you're digging for something in there.
Well, that's why I was looking at my phone earlier. Like, is there anything interesting? But if you have something...
Well, I wasn't able to dig too far into it, but Blockstream and Breeze announced...
Oh, that's cool. The green light integration.
Yeah. What you seem to know more about it than I do. What's going on?
So I was talking to Roy about it. Roy's here from Breeze. He's absolutely awesome. So first of all, it's like a... It's just an announcement of their plans to do it. But right now with Breeze, you essentially are running a Lightning node on your phone, directly on your phone. And if anyone's used Breeze for podcasting 2.0, like your phone gets really hot
really
because
hot.
It's like it's legitimately running a Lightning node on your phone. And it also means that all of their different apps within Breeze, whether that's the actual wallet or whether that's podcasting or whether that's their point of sale and he wants to add video streaming and he wants to add all these different things, they all need to be in the same app because they need a Lightning node. Now, Greenlight is cool because it's an on-demand cloud node that Blockstream, it's a service that Blockstream runs. And it's trust minimized because the actual keys are on your phone. They're not on the server. Now, there's obviously some trust still in Blockstream. Obviously, the main one is that they actually are up. But also, they provide a watchtower service for you because when your node's offline, someone can try and broadcast a bad state and steal your Lightning funds, right? So there's a little bit of trust in Blockstream, but if they're not like your channel partner, they shouldn't be able to take your funds. And all these Lightning wallets on your phone, they're not trustless. There's always, first of all, it's very hard for anything to be trustless, but they're all like trust minimized, taking different trade-off balances. Like even with Breeze, your phone goes offline, you know, your main channel is open with Breeze. You know, they're the only liquidity provider. There's some trust there in Breeze. Now, in this setup, it's really interesting because you have the keys on your phone. Greenlight is the node. And then he can have all these different Breeze apps that can all connect back to that node and separate them out. So you don't have one big bloated app that does all the things.
That's modular.
Yeah. And I guess like this is the first major partner with Greenlight that I know of.
That's pretty cool.
And it also means more C Lightning usage, like core Lightning usage. Do you want to talk about that? Did we talk about that last week?
We did talk about it last week.
We thought it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah. Cool. I mean.
We had Christian Decker up here and he kept calling it C Lightning by accident.
We talked about it last week.
Yeah, we did. We already talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people in the room here. The Lightning Flame Wars are interesting. The implementation wars. Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, the Greenlight logo is yellow. What's up with that? That just irks me so hard.
That's confusing,
right?
Yeah. Well, I guess everyone's scared of making a green B because of B Cash. There's one right behind your head over there.
That's a square. That's a square. So it's like. A little bit different, yeah.
100%, yeah. I think Bcash is... Who was here when Bcash happened? When the fork happened?
Good amount.
Yeah, see, for a lot of people, Bcash just does not even exist.
Good. There's no reason to...
So you think they should call it Yellow Light? Or should they change the color of the logo?
I'm not the marketing person. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I was actually reminiscing... with Harry Sudduck about that too. Like when we first met in 2017, like all the topic was about the fork wars. And it's crazy again to think how far we've come from that.
It was an important part of Bitcoin history though, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like Mt. Gox going bankrupt or the block size wars, whatever you want to call it. It proved that Bitcoin is resilient and it just got stronger afterwards. So,
it sort of needed to happen at some point, right? To prove that Bitcoin could overcome that.
That's true.
Attack.
Yeah, like even 5-6 years ago, it wasn't, maybe this is something we take for granted now. Now we kind of accept that Bitcoin works extremely reliably. But back then it was much more maybe experimental, or we didn't have as much confidence, maybe. It was more of something to play around with.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you've got billionaires just going all in.
Yeah. And then you have other billionaires who want to change the code.
Hashtag change the code.
They're going to change the code. Anybody can change the code. Just getting people to run it, that's going to be hard.
Well, Greenpeace can go fuck themselves. They love it.
Real Bitcoiners in here.
What else do you want to talk about?
I lost a thought that just came back to me, piggybacking on this. Fork wars were over. How to scale Bitcoin, particularly at the block size level. Bcash wanted to arbitrarily just double the block size, and other people thought SegWit would be a more advantageous way to increase the block weight and make it some more transactions. There he is.
I was told to water up.
Okay.
Do you have a handheld?
Sorry, I'm dressed like Fiat today. So.
Steve,
you have a handheld mic?
Steve, go get a mic.
Stick your head in there and ask them for a handheld. Tell them.
The Bens are here, and
we're not. But the Bens are here.
That's I got in a bit of a discussion this week.
We're under attack.
Is there Bens?
Look at that.
Bens always. Oh no!
I can't see anything.
They brought a gaggle. There's a gaggle of Bens. Get out of here! Get out of here!
There we go.
Steve, don't bring that sign up here.
No? My little boy is 6 months. His name is Ben.
Oh, okay. Right. Fair enough.
I stand with Ben's baby.
Did you get mobbed after your mining panel? That's what I assumed.
I did, yeah. A lot of noobs came up to me, so I'd explain Bitcoin from scratch. So,
what are your thoughts of this event? How's it going for you?
I think it's been great. I came in a bit late, but a few NFT shills came up to me, but they're nice people.
Marty loves NFTs though, and he just wants them online.
I have no opinion on them. Like, I'm sort of like neutral, but mining is good. Like, this year is it's nice to see like excitement around mining. So I think the conference guys have done an amazing job with that. So. I love them what I'm seeing out there in the booth section.
Do you want to tell the freaks about our special offer?
Yeah, I'm shilling our black boxes. If you guys haven't seen them, they're mining out in the conference with a couple S9s. So, yeah.
You want to tell them what a black box is?
Yeah, a black box, it converts your KYC Bitcoin to non-KYC Bitcoin in the comfort of your home. It turns you into your own personal non-KYC exchange. It burns your fiat and makes beautiful Bitcoins. So every single one of you should get one. Although I know it's expensive, so I put out the plan on how to build your own. So you can just take a single sheet of plywood, cut it in the sections that I drew up, and build one and run an S9 off 120 volt in your garage. Or wherever, and you'll get the sound kill. You'll get all the you get to be on the black market like a true Bitcoiner. So go do that. That's why it's called the black box.
Hell yeah.
There is a promo if you go to our web store and type in freaks as a coupon code, you get a further discount off bundles. So it's a little bit extra off. It's a promo on right now. So
freaks. Steve was in Texas last week. Big recruiting trip. When are you moving?
It was a bit of a exploratory trip. Yeah. There's a lot of action in Texas. I'm stuck up in Canada. I don't know how I got here. I guess it's a different story, but, Canada is, not great for business right now. So we were checking out Texas for the oil and gas Bitcoin mining stuff.
What about Nashville?
I want to go to Nashville. I met Peter McCormack last night and he invited me there. So I might go in August. And actually, I heard Nashville is rocking. You guys do a good job at your meetups.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And Tom Asserio, one of my favorite guys in Bitcoin.
Yeah,
Marty's
Tom's
a good boy.
Fucking awesome.
He lives in Tennessee now and from what I see, it's just a glorious place.
Yeah, it is a glorious place. Yeah.
Well, lots of people are moving there, right? I mean, you got already like the Bitcoin Magazine office is headquartered there. And not to dox anybody else who's living there, but a lot of cool Bitcoiners apparently are moving there.
Yeah, but all the cooler Bitcoiners in Austin, so. I'm kidding.
People think this conference is bad. Wait for your WEF conference that's coming to town.
Is that a
WEF plus CoinDesk consensus?
Yeah, talk about being tone deaf.
WEF and CoinDesk?
Yeah, World Economic Forum, have you heard of them?
Who's Klaus Schwab?
Who is Klaus
Schwab? Nobody knows.
He's a shady character.
Is he the emperor or is he the Sith or is he the
I think he's a puppet.
Like, we don't know. That's the only question.
We don't have to get into that though. We've got 10 minutes and 30 seconds left. We usually open it up to Q&A at the end here. There's a lot of people. If any of you guys have any questions, do we have any mics to hand out or are we just standing up and screaming, Matt?
No wonder the Bens are here.
I don't have them on.
Why don't you just read the shout out you put in there?
Yeah, Ben did. Actually, yeah, I had to reach out to two freaks and they DM me after. We usually don't do the shout outs at the live show. It's not enough time. What's the most underestimated announcement this week? What is the most underestimated announcement? It hasn't been made yet.
Are you announcing the announcement now?
Matt just did.
What
is the most underrated announcement? I don't know.
Maulers.
Matt's hinting here.
Did you guys talk about the Cash App? I thought that was pretty cool. A lot of easier onboarding, easier user experience. Seemed like some good stuff.
And Lightning deposits, right?
Yeah, the dual, like make it easier to pay.
I mean, we've been talking about this a lot, but I actually had a conversation with Danny, who's working on the Cash App wallet, and it's really cool just how much they've simplified the UX of pointing your camera at a QR code. Doesn't know if it's a fiat QR code, an on-chain, or a Lightning code, and it just works. It picks up whatever it is and sends what it needs to. Let's give a shout-out to Cash App for really pushing the UX barriers around Bitcoin usage.
Yeah, I mean, Miles was great up there. He fucking killed it.
Yeah.
With absolute legend.
Disclaimer. They used to be a sponsor.
They're a sponsor of the stage.
And the stage. Yeah. Underestimate, yeah. I mean, I was hope maybe.
Aaron Rodgers said Stack Sats.
That's boss. How's that make you feel?
It's 2 years since Stack Sats first came out. Now it's just whatever. Just everyone Stack Sats.
We're going to move to bits, though, dude.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Shitcoins are obsolete and we're moving to bits.
I was expecting another nation state to announce here. So maybe not an underestimate.
Well, Samson had like an overestimated announcement. What was it? I mean, it was just it's like an island, like a little island off of Honduras.
Prospera.
Right, Prospera. Yeah. But like everyone thought that was going to be a whole country.
I think we need more whole countries. I think El Salvador's out on a proverbial island.
We're used to whole countries now, you know?
Yeah. Starts with islands, man. It starts with islands. Grows from there.
Fair enough.
I mean, I would love for like the US or Canada to just come out and be like, we're not going to do anything. Run free with Bitcoin. Use it as you please. Which is, who was I talking about this with? Mark Moss. Yeah. I was talking about it with Mark Moss yesterday. Like, that's the way it should be. Like, we shouldn't have to wait for permission from the government to use Bitcoin the way we want to. Like, it's the way America, the ideals it was founded on, like, we should just be able to do it freely.
It doesn't strike me as organic to expect countries to, like, states, like governments, to adopt it. It doesn't seem like
the
right bottom-up
approach. Yeah, the incentives and game theory is not exactly...
Yeah, exactly. You don't want whole nation states adopting. You just want their citizens to feel comfortable adopting it and use it as they want to.
Especially if they have a money printing machine.
I guess it was kind of a no-brainer for El Salvador, though, right? Because they were using the U.S. dollar.
They didn't even have their own currency.
And the Federal Reserve is just printing out that trillions of dollars of money, and they're getting inflated and no benefits at all. So it's like a very easy decision for them, right? But most other countries that are printing their own currency, it's against their interest to adopt
it. It's like slaughtering their own golden goose in a way.
Right. Yeah. So I guess for El Salvador, they already
that their golden goose already got slaughtered internally before that. So it was a lot easier for them.
You have any thoughts on this, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're certainly early for their time. I don't think we expect any other countries to announce, certainly in the next few days. And there are a lot of downsides when a country does this, right? There's a lot of custodial wallets. There's a lot of, kind of implementation issues of trying to build this in on a wider societal level. So as you were saying, Marty, it's almost better in a way that we have this kind of organic growth where it takes time, yes, but by the time that a government eventually says, you know, we're going to use this thing, well, a lot of people are already using it, but using it in the right way, or at least able to tell their friends and family, this is how you should do it. Don't just use the government's wallet, but, mm-hmm. Use your own wallet. And I think that's going to happen anyway. So I'm not too fussed at the rate of country adoption because, as you say, I think it's happening anyway.
Yeah.
Raise your hands if you've been to the Bitcoin Bazaar in the conference. Okay. Raise your hand if you spent Bitcoin in the Miami area. That's pretty awesome. Like, I love that we have both the circular economy here. I love that we have everywhere around this conference you can pay with Lightning. And a bunch of different companies and groups of people have been onboarding businesses in the surrounding area. I mean, we were at a bar last night that was onboarded that accepted Bitcoin.
Dude, it was crazy. My flight from Austin yesterday, I came in, and there was a few of the Unchained guys on the flight as well. And Tyler, who created the intro to our podcast, was going to a hotel right down the street. So we hopped in an Uber. We shared an Uber. And then somebody was coming to the conference. Are you guys going to South Beach? This is probably not what you should do if you're a Bitcoiner. He was like, can I hop in the Uber with you? We're like, yeah, hop in. And he split the, he was like, I'll pay you over Strike. I was like, yeah, here's a Lightning invoice. And he paid me in the Uber. It's like, as soon as I landed, ran into a Bitcoiner, was willing to pay me in sats to split an Uber. It was pretty cool.
I have the opposite strategy. When the Uber driver asks me if I'm into Bitcoin, I'm like, what's that? Bitcoin?
Yeah. That's you shill him a shitcoin just so for good offset purposes.
I don't own any Bitcoin.
Tron is the future, and doesn't do anything to you.
Yeah, it's really cool to see Prolific. Shout out to Ibex and Oshii who have been going.
Michael from Oshii just fucking never stops.
Yeah.
He never stops. Ibex has onboarded 40 merchants. I mean, Ibex and Oshii also work together. So it's very complimentary. I mean, one of the most bullish fundamentals of this year, period, is I really feel like there's starting to be real momentum on a proper Bitcoin circular economy. And I'm being cautious about it because there were false starts in the past.
I mean, it was a big meme in 2013, 2014.
Hey, what about BitPay adding Lightning? Do we care?
No, too late. Nicholas and the BTC Pay server team obsoleted them. So it's funny.
Do you have to do KYC before you send them Lightning stuff?
Is it like a threshold? I've never spent to a BitPay merchant.
Well, they don't even give you a QR code, do they? They make you, they don't give you a Bitcoin address to pay. Do they give you a Lightning invoice?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah. Who cares?
Is anybody using BitPay?
I think a lot of people are, right?
Use BTC Pay Server.
Raise your hand if you use BitPay at your business.
Zero.
Zero hands. Somebody's pointing at somebody over there.
It's it's a pretty
don't be scared.
Shame.
It's kind of a mean question. Raise your hand if you spent at a BitPay merchant in the last year.
It's a few hands.
Did they just give you an invoice?
BIP90?
Got it. So he's saying it depends on the merchant. Hmm. Some just give you a Bitcoin address.
Yeah. Still catching up.
But there's other merchants that just use BTC Pay Server to book your flights or hotel. There's so many places you can go now.
100%. So, guys, we have 2 minutes left. I think we should probably end it with final thoughts. But before we do, before you all jump out of your seats and stuff, we have a ride or die freak here who's going to perform for us, Captain Youth, in 2 minutes after we do our final thoughts. So, I'm very excited about that and looking forward to that. So, Craig, you want to start with final thoughts?
Sure. So, I mean, great to be here. And, I just really am inspired by the number of people that I met and feedback that I've got, it's great to see in person the kind of passion that people have. I'm living in, you know, one corner of a continent in the world where Bitcoin is not a general topic, let's say. And coming out here, you can really experience the kind of passion and enthusiasm that people have in the space, and that gives me energy to do what I do. So, yeah, it's been great to be here so far.
Thanks, Craig. Wiz, final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's been Miami's been great so far. We started off with the beefsteak, and that was amazing.
Beefsteak's always special.
Who went to the beefsteak? Yeah.
Marty, why isn't your hand up?
Yeah, that's the best. That's
I had
the best
a very event. Pregnant wife. I tweeted, I have beefsteak FOMO.
Poor FOMO, yeah. Well, you were missed. Everyone was asking me about you. I had to answer that question like 100 times.
Thank you for missing me, Freaks.
Yeah. But yeah, the beefsteak was awesome. And, you know, this open source stage was awesome. Like every talk is, this is the signal, right? These are the people that I want to listen to and hang out with. I don't know what's going on in the other rooms.
Yeah,
I've been paying attention, but.
Steve?
Well, I'm happy to be up here. I listen to you guys. I do a lot of driving in Canada from Calgary to Lloyd to Oil Wells, whatnot. I listen to you guys all the time. So appreciate having me up here. Me and Marty were shooting guns on a Texas ranch the other day. It was epic.
Thank you,
Steve.
Illegal guns that we wouldn't build, not US illegal, but Canadian illegal. So it was a special experience.
Steve had a cathartic experience on the gun range on Sunday. I've got a picture of him. He's got the biggest shit eating grin on his face.
FN Scar, man. Oh my God. There's a Guns and Bitcoin conference coming up. I don't know. Are you guys going to that? Guns and Bitcoin?
I kind of want to.
Yeah, I'm speaking at that in a few days.
Oh, awesome.
It's down here in Miami, right?
I mean, they're great dudes over there. Yeah. Do you have any fun? Oh, yeah.
That's it. Continue. That's it for me.
Why don't you go first with the final thought? And whatever. What are you holding?
I wasn't going to do final thoughts, but we've been working with the Bitcoin company. And we've turned that honey badger, or they've turned that honey badger that we used to have on our t-shirts before Marty nuked the store because he was scared we were going to be ledger hacked. And proceeds are going to OpenSats, them and us. It's a three-way split.
Yeah, shout out to my...
So it's pretty dope. This is the first time I've ever seen it in person.
Shout out to my roommate, Braden, out of college, who made that design.
And shout out to Max, who made this 3D print. It came out great, dude. I know you just walked up on stage and I had a hot mic, but it came out fantastic. Final thoughts?
We're going to win.
We're going to win. Let's fucking go. Yeah. Thank you, freaks. Here comes Captain Youth.
The parallel paradox. Call it the doxalil.
Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shit coins. Hot damn, I'm up 20 bands. Blesses once again, like ooh, ooh, ooh. My account's at an all time high. When big bull talk, make bearers die. Eat Milky bars, so the price is gonna fly away. Today, today, I pray. Got my bags packed, who you wish you had that? Try to tell the normies they ain't listen, how they sad, sad. Big BTC, lil bro E, GRT, I've been telling y'all to grab that. Bought Link, I ain't even do no research. Carry round bags so heavy that my knees hurt. Please sir, this is for my family. I've been buying daily for prosperity. Okay, you got your suicide stack all in Bitcoin, I don't need no cash. Fuck cuck bucks, they suck, I don't wanna pay stub. You can keep the cash, I'ma stack until that day come. Lambo, moonshot, I believe since day one. Elon finna pump this shit to Mars, no need to say none. If you've been on the sidelines, for more when it's my time. Dumping on you fast, here hold my bags and watch them decline. Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shit coins. Hot damn, I'm up 20 bands. Lessons once again, like ooh, 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 ooh. My account's at an all-time high. When big bull taught and bearers die. Eat Milky bar, so the price is gonna fly away. Today, today I pray. Shout out all the homies who just stack and stack. Marty Bent, Matt Odell, Mr. Swan and Max. Every fellow OG on CT. Loom, Dart, R&R, Loops, and Kobe. If you don't know me, this is strong hands only. Have fun staying poor if you capitulate, homie. I could never do that, hardly ever go flat. Small ting won't do, full send it for ham cat. I'm long with a whole stack, I'm giga brain bull chat. Okay, here's what happened before the IRS mad. I went football taught and the bad res died. It sounds tall tales, but it's no lie. See, I lost all my money in the exchange hack and the boating accident that happened after that. Plus I'm down a couple racks from when I bought Zcash. It's okay, I'll write it off, whatever helps the tax, yeah. Waking up, I check the price of Bitcoin. Scrolling on down through the shit coins. Hot damn, another 20 bands. Blessings once again, like ooh, 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 ooh. My account's at an all-time high. When big bull tar make bearers die. Eat Milky Bar, so the price went and flew away. But that was yesterday.